I want to share one of them with you that was very moving, okay? There's a few, but I want to share one. And that was, as I was praying this morning, I was praying for Brother Memo. And I don't want him to go through what he's going through, you understand? And my heart's broken, and so I'm praying deeply, like really deeply for my brother. And I actually, they say, you know, young men will have visions. But and old men will dream dreams. But I just saw the most comfort I've ever experienced. And I've experienced a lot of comfort. Amen. I was asking God to put my brother at his throne. Amen. I didn't trust in doctors. I don't trust in medicine. But I trust in him. Amen. And I don't know if you guys can envision it with me, but I saw Memo, you know, he always tries to act tough, but really I see a little kid. Because you know when little kids are bad, right? And they know they're being bad? Mm-hmm. That's the way I see Memo. You know? Like he knew he was being bad. You know what I mean? But I just saw the most comfort. I saw Memo sitting at the Lord's feet, amen, in his throne room. And just the most comfort I've ever experienced. And that's what I was asking for, amen. We don't want to see anybody we love go through what our brother's going through. But we know that we have a God who can comfort us, amen, in the worst of times. And that was the most beautiful thing. I didn't just get to see it, I felt. He let me feel the comfort, amen. And then I was with people yesterday. I was actually going to try to go yesterday. And I got a phone call that somebody was passing away. And our sister, Jerry, was at a hospital with her nephew, and he wasn't going to make it. And so I went there, and I got to pray with the family and everything. But I got to tell you something that's more crazy than that, that God was revealing to me. And I want to pray for our sister, Jerry. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to pray for these people this morning with you as a congregation, but Jerry has come so far in the Lord, you guys, that I didn't have to be there. I mean, I know that I think I was there for her, but she has come so far in the Lord. And I love that when we can see God working through the lives of people that, you know, when we first met him, it was an impossibility. You know, I'm looking at you and I'm not trying to say nothing. But when we were leaving there, I was telling Jacob, I said, you know what, we were here for Jerry, because Jerry was here for her family in a way that she couldn't have been a year ago. You know, and I praise God for that. I see stuff like that, and it makes everything we do beautiful. Amen. He won't fail. Amen. He won't. He never does. Amen. And I have a special request for prayer this morning for a friend of mine who I never really got to know them the way I want to know them, but it was because of the world in the way, amen? And now there's things going on in their life that they feel like is destroying them, and they're falling apart, and I don't see that because they're crying out to the Lord, amen? They're crying out to us for prayer. And I think it's prayer being answered. And I think God has control over the whole situation. And I think that it's going to be amazing. But I want to pray for my friends. Because it seems like there's no way to fix it. Amen?
Amen.
But we know who never fails us. Isn't that beautiful? So I want to pray this morning for these three people that God laid on my heart. But I also want... I'm going to take just a moment. I know we have prayer at the end, but if there's anybody here that needs prayer, after I pray for these three people, come up and pray with me. Amen. Let's let God work. Let's let him set us free. Let's let us leave here today knowing that we have a God that we can trust and that he's not just available. Amen. He's moving.
That's right.
Amen. That's a good word. He's moving. Amen. So I don't know if you guys will, I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit touches your heart, because I want you to experience what I experienced when I prayed for my brother this morning. So let's start with Brother Memo. Amen. Father, I just want to come to you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Father. I really believe that this even goes with the message this morning because our hearts need to be right for us to hear you. Our hearts need to be right for us to not just hear you, Lord, but to put into practice that which you share. And I want to pray for a man that has shared that heart with me over and over and over again. And I really believe the only reason I got to see that, Lord, and feel that comfort was because of the comfort I felt and I feel every time my brother is with me. And I just want to thank you for that because that's the man you created him to be. That's the man that he was always supposed to be. He used to tell me, I wasted 32 years of my life, Matt. Cracked me up, you know. Once you know the truth, you look back and you're like, wow, that was all for nothing. And he didn't waste any more of his life. He doesn't do that now. He wants to live for you, Lord. And not only does he want to live for you, Lord, but he displays that life to us, Lord, so that we desire you. And I know that's why you're comforting him. I know that's why he trusts in you so deeply that comfort comes easy, Lord. And I don't want to see my brother go through what he's going through, Father. So I just ask that he always remains in your comfort, that you strengthen him where he needs strength, Lord, and that you heal him. Amen. That you heal him, Lord. Heal him, Father. And he still has work to do. He still has a lot of work to do, Lord. So I just praise you for that. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that comfort, Lord. If there's somebody here today, Father, that's struggling, Lord, that needs that comfort, I know that my brother loves the way you love, Lord, and he would want you to give anyone here this morning that favor, Father. And I just ask for that, Lord. If somebody here this morning, if you've touched their heart, Lord, and they're struggling, and this was meant to be this morning for us to share in your spirit, Lord. I love it when your spirit's here because we know we can all receive the benefit from you being with us and being here, Lord. And so I thank you for that. So, Lord, touch any life here this morning that's struggling. Lord, show them that there is a way. There is a way. In the world, it seems impossible. When we put our eyes on you, Father, all things are possible. And I truly believe that. Thank you, Father. You are an amazing God, Lord. You're going to make a difference in Brother Memo's life. And you're going to make a difference in the lives of anybody here who's struggling, Father. And I believe that. Mm-hmm. Lord, I ask that any doubt in this room be cast out. That you cast it out. That it doesn't belong in a Christian's heart or mind. Lord, that you cast it out and you strengthen us, Father, to seek you and to come to you for everything and trust you for everything, Lord. You are. You said, I am. Amen. I'm saying you are. There is nothing else. There is no one else, Lord. And I thank you for that. Lord, I want to pray for my sister, Jerry, that I saw so much faith yesterday. I saw so much strength, something she couldn't do before she really came to know you. And I just want to thank you for that growth, Lord. That's what I want to talk about this morning if I get to the sermon. That's what I want people to hear, Father. That's where I want people's hearts to be. It's not in what they see here, not in what's impossible here, Lord, but what they see in you, who they become in you, who they can be in you, who they know they can be in you if they'll just let go, Father, the things of the world. And I seen a very strong and powerful woman yesterday, and it wasn't what people think it was. She was broken and crying and loving and gentle and forgiving. It was all that strength you give us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
All that wonderfulness we have when we seek you, Lord, and trust you. And it's what changes things. It's what makes things right. And I praise you for it. We can't ask for anything because you already give us everything if we just put our eyes on you. That's the kind of God we serve. It's already there. We just need to receive it. Let us receive it this morning. And as I say that, Father, I'm thinking of my friends and Lord, I'm thinking of my sister mostly and how much she's struggling and what she must be really going through, Lord. All she had and all she sees is things through the world in the world's eyes, and all she has is destruction right now. That's it. There's no way. There's no way to fix it. There's no way to change it. But Lord, we know the way. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are everything. And I ask, Lord, for the comfort that I felt when I prayed for my brother Memo, Lord, to be given to my sister. That you make a way for her, Lord. And that you put a joy in her heart the world can't take. Lord, that you set her free from these things the enemy is trying to bind her with. Lord, that you break those chains. Thank you for that, Father. I'm thinking about that as I'm praying for my sister. I'm thinking about everybody else here and what we're chained to. What's holding us back from being free. Lord, I ask that you free us. If you're touching a heart this morning, or many, Lord, I hope, as you touched mine, Father, that you give us the freedom, Lord, that you died to give us. That we see the truth and we accept the truth, Lord, and we choose the truth. We choose to be in you. I ask that for my sister Amanda, but I also ask that for everyone here who might be struggling with something that they think. I think of the things in the world, and I think when I look at them in the world, they seem impossible. There's no way. There's not a possibility. You know, there's not a possibility, and people have all these dreams and all these wants and needs in the world, and they just desire them, and they dream up ways to try to find them. Lord, it's all falsehood. It's all a lie, Lord. You're the only truth. Let us seek you, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I will turn off my mic. Thank you.
You know what? I always thought you were a beautiful young lady, but now you're more beautiful than I could ever imagine. God has done great things.
You say play, right?
I think there's... Please, thank you. I think there's some in the office.
Guys, the Holy Spirit's calling you this morning for prayer.
Don't ever stop, David. Just come on up and pray with us. Don't let anything stop you. Thank you.
y'all. This is my daughter, Cecilia. She's my oldest. We call her Ceci.
All right, I get to preach now. Preach it. Amen.
Amen.
I don't like that word, but okay. I get to share God's word. Amen.
Share it.
Okay.
pick on Paul.
I'll pick on Paul. Paul said. Amen. Mic on. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I would have forgot. Amen. I want to tell a quick story. I'm sorry, I'm a storyteller. But one time when Cecilia was a little girl, this is what made me love her so much. She's sitting in the truck between me and my first wife, and she looks up at me and she says, she's so touched by God because she told us that God gave her a new daddy.
Amen.
Amen. And she meant it like, God gave me a new daddy. Amen. She knew her dad wasn't right before. And what God gave her was wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
Anyways, that broke my heart. And it still breaks my heart when I think about it. Let's open it in a word of prayer. Father, we just want to come to you, Lord, just thanking you, Father, for today. Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. I ask, Father, that as your word is read, Lord, that we hear it, Father. We need to hear it. We're living in times where we need to hear you, Lord. I don't want people to hear me. I want them to hear you. I want them to hear what I heard. I want to share with them what you shared. And I just ask, Father, that that people hear you, that they hear your word, that their heart is open. That's why I thanked you so much for your presence this morning, that their hearts would be open. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm in Corinthians, but I didn't want to keep going with Corinthians because it's going to start a new... he was setting us up to hear the things that aren't right. Okay? And I didn't think we were ready to accept it yet, to be honest with you. So I wanted to share what Jude says. We need to get our hearts right. Amen. Last time I got to share, I said, where's your heart at? Where's your heart at? You know, where is our hearts? What are they on? You know? I preached that message, but you know what happened to me that week? God started showing me where my heart's not right. Okay? And then he started sharing with me where I wasn't willing to give in to hear him, where my heart wasn't right. And that's crippling. You know what that's like? That's like if I have to go talk to Mike about something, I see myself and what I'm telling Mike is wrong. God doesn't let go. He's not gonna make you okay unless you are okay because of him. Amen? Right? If our hearts aren't right now that we know the truth, he's not going to be okay with that. He's going to keep sharing himself. He's going to keep making a way. He's going to keep opening a door. Amen?
Amen.
Right? I can't speak to anybody now since last week without God showing me myself and what I'm trying to share. And what a wonderful thing that is, because he found a way to reach me. You get it? He found a way. It's funny, okay, because you know what I'm going to say. He's the way. I just shared with a young man this morning that I may not see him in 2 weeks ever again. I told him, I don't want to share that with you, but it's the truth. If you don't stay in Christ Jesus, amen?
Amen.
And I want to go a little further with that, brother. You ready? Okay. What I shared with you has happened 1,000 times in my ministry. And when I see those same people out on the street living the way they used to live, right? I've been in situations, brother, where I'm walking in places I probably shouldn't, and people want to fight with me. They want to mistreat me. They want to mishandle me. And people I'm telling you about from my past that were in the church like that, they're the ones protecting me, even though they're with those people. But they won't come back. It's craziness. It doesn't make sense. I've been with people where there's a guy on the porch that's probably leading everybody, and they want to hurt the people I'm with. Right? But because we're sharing with him, he stops everybody and he says his best time in his entire life was the 2 weeks he spent with the Lord after he got out of prison one time. And I'm like, then what are you doing here now? That's the kind of grip the world and the enemy has in people's lives. And it's in the church as well. Okay, it's in our attitudes. It's in the way we look at things. It's in the way we treat each other. You guys are sick of me saying these things, but I'm going to say them till God takes me home. You want to know why? Because the enemy creeps in that quick. We have to constantly be reminded. Amen? We have to, God's word doesn't change because we decided to do something different. God's word remains the same. Amen? And we're going to get into Corinthians where there's things going on in the church that are even unheard of in the world. Okay, and people aren't just, they're not just doing those things, okay? But the people in the church are praising those things. You know what I mean by that? Don't take it wrong, okay? Here's what it is. Are you ready for it? Okay? It's because they want to be so loving. They've been taught to be so loving, but they're still thinking like the world, that they're going to love those people even in what they're doing. Because they've lost connection with the head. You get it? We need to be broken for Christ. We need to be broken when we read our word. We need to be broken to hear him. You can't go in there prideful. How many of us read our word prideful? Like, because we think we know already, because we've heard it already. I've heard it in the church. I don't need to be in Bible study because I've done that for 24 years. I've taught Bible study. Are you kidding me? All right. I know. Nobody's listening, so let's just go to where we're supposed to be. But you know where? I have a bunch of places. We're not going to make them today. But we're going to go to one. We're going to be in Jude today, but we're going to go to Romans 5:20 first, okay? Because I got to share that one before. You get it? Okay. I'm not going to be able to take you all the other places, but I don't want to miss this one, so we're going to go there first. This is such a misunderstanding in people's lives, and it's the very thing Jude wants to talk to us about. Have you ever been like in something you know you shouldn't be in, but you know you're forgiven, so you do it anyways? You think it's just going to be okay, so you do it anyways. You know what happens with that mindset? Your heart gets callous, and then everything becomes that way. Before you know it, you're not in a relationship with Jesus anymore, but you think you know him. And you've forgotten all the fundamentals of first being saved, when your life was first changed. I see it, and I'm going to tell you guys something. I don't want you to get mad at me, but I see it in almost every conversation I have with people. That's how deeply rooted the enemy is in the church. We need to be set free. Amen? We need to walk in freedom. You know when you walk in freedom? Amen? Then freedom is displayed for everyone around you. When you walk in bondage, then you share bondage with everyone around you. You know what he died on that cross for?
Our sins.
He died to set you free.
Set you free.
Your sins are a byproduct. Mm-hmm. The freedom is something different. The freedom lets you see that sin is wrong. Mm-hmm. The freedom lets you desire righteousness. The freedom. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I've been trying to explain this over and over and over again for a year now, and I don't think I've done any justice. Five, 20 of Romans. You guys ready for this? Think about everything I just shared with you as we read it, okay? The law was added so that the trespass might increase. People think that's a bad thing. They always talk about the law and that and the other thing. You know what the law was really given for? It's no different than what God did by giving you His Spirit. His Spirit allows you to see everything that's wrong. You get it? If I'm choosing Christ and I'm walking in Him, I can't do something without seeing what's wrong or right in it anymore. You understand? And I'm having a conversation with somebody, I'm seeing the wrong in it. I may not be the one speaking, but I see it, right? But when I go to speak to correct it, I see the wrong in me. Even though I have to speak, and it might be right, God's revealing to me so He can change me, so my heart can be right, so I'm not being that person I used to be anymore. Do you understand? I want to share a few things with you today. I hope I get there, okay? I really do, because they're amazing things. This is one of them. Listen to the rest of the scripture. People take this scripture out of context all the time. They use this scripture as a means to sin and get away with it. And I've been telling you for years, and I don't have any idea how to explain it to you until I saw some of this stuff today, okay? Or this week when I was studying it. Grace isn't a place to hide your sin. It's a place to overcome your sin. Amen? It's not a place to hide your sin. You know what the world wants you to think? That you can hide your sin. You know what the enemy wants you to think? That you can hide your sin. He's using the very word of God in our lives. Thank you, Ange.
Come on, homegirl.
Such love. Such love. Here we go. Amen. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increases, grace increases all the more. People misinterpret that. They think it's okay to sin now that we're covered in the blood of Jesus. That His grace will cover me. And we all live that way. We're Christians and we live that way. That's the church today. That's the church today. I see it everywhere. That's the church today. That's why it's so easy to fall away. And people who think they're grounded, or they find a place in this place, or place in places like this, you know, they think that's being saved, or that's what being a Christian, or walking in Christ. It's all a lie from the enemy, straight from the pit of hell. I don't usually speak like that. I just feel that compassion for it, because it's real. We need to hear it. Amen? Watch the rest of this verse. You ready? Watch this. Or 21, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So that just as sin reigns in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness. You guys see it? Watch. Jesus gives us grace, right? Not to cover what we're doing, right? But to cover us till we see Him and allow Him to make us righteous in Him. That's where the change takes place. He loves us so much that He covers us, but He doesn't cover us to stay in that. He covers us to set us free. You get it? Just like sin remained in death, right? Grace remains in life. Brings us that righteousness is nothing that we could achieve, not in this place. That righteousness is achieved in us. Right? Because we're spending the time with Him that we used to spend in the world. You get it? Watch what it says. It's beautiful. Watch. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness. The only way you're going to be righteous through Him, He's the righteousness. There's only one, Francis. Right? Only one. So also grace might reign through Him. Through righteousness. It's not a place to hide your sin. It's a place your sin gets revealed so He can change it. Amen? You see it? That's a Christian's walk. That's a personal, deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. And you know when we know we're not in it? When we hear ourselves saying and doing things we aren't supposed to say and do anymore. Those things don't come from Him. They come from death. And when we speak and act that way, we're speaking and acting on death. But when we speak and act the way the Savior's changing our hearts to be, the people we were created originally to be, then we speak life. Amen? I don't want to speak death anymore. And every time I do, listen, I'm even trying to do good. I even say, I'm not gossiping. I'm not, I need to fix this. Right? How many times have I gone to somebody to try to fix something and every time it comes back to it only gets fixed in prayer? It only changes when I put it at the feet of Jesus and trust Him with it. And you know what comes out of that? His righteousness comes out of that. Amen? Why is every life here is changed? Why is that possible? Did I do something? I could do nothing. You get it? It's only by His righteousness. I used to feel like I could take credit, Bev. You know. How many people have we shared Christ with that came to know the Lord and we patted ourselves on the back? And I hear it now. Those little pats. I don't want them. And I don't want them in your life. Amen? I don't want them. Me and Jacob talked about that yesterday. Just a little word, a little saying changes it. Took away from Christ what's His. He reigns. Amen?
Amen.
So then, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness. Listen, you ready for this? I should have just read it. To bring eternal life through who? Who is He?
Our Lord.
Amen? Do I have any righteousness? Have I changed anything? I've changed nothing even about myself. Only Christ can do that. Amen? The only reason I stand before you or share His word during the week with people because I want them to know Him. He's the giver of everything. He's the giver of life. There is nothing else besides Him. Let's go to Jude. I'm going to tell you what. God is amazing because I had a few conversations this morning that led right to this sermon. I heard Jordan's message this morning. Led right to the sermon. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Let's listen this morning. I asked you 2 weeks ago, where's your heart at? Amen? Let's listen. Don't listen to me. Don't even listen to the things I share to try to explain it. Just listen to His word. You know what the only reason why people talk and try to explain it? Amen? It's because they want you to get it. But the truth is, all we have to do is get up here and read and go home. That's it. And anything explained that we can't read, don't take it home. Amen? Where He speaks, we speak. Where He's silent, we need to be silent people. Amen? Listen, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, a brother of James, he's trying to tell us that he was Jesus' brother too. But he didn't want to take the credit. He wanted to say it humbly. You get it? That's because that's what he's going to talk about. He didn't want to say like this, Mike. Look, Mike. Mm-hmm. You know how many times I told the story of me and Mike to people, and I did it pridefully? It was all wrong. I needed to tell that story in love because of what Christ did in both our lives. Amen? Watch. Before we get into those things in Corinthians, you guys, your heart needs to be right. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus. That's nothing we can accomplish, but through everything I want to share with you this morning, that's a promise. Okay? You and I can't accomplish it. It's been accomplished for us. I need to make that clear. I'm Jude 1. I'm getting ready to start Jude 2. Verse 2. There's only one chapter, so. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And I've been sharing this way for years, and this is the meaning of what I want you to get this morning. You can't have mercy. You can't have peace. You can't have the love that God shares. You can have it because he gives it freely, but you can't know it or experience it until you give it to others. That's how deeply we have to be broken. I saw mercy yesterday. Amen. I saw the growth of my sister so amazing. I saw mercy. I saw love. She was encouraging these young men to have what she could have not have even seen a year ago or 2 years ago. She had hate in her heart 2 years ago. And she had love in her heart today. You get it? God revealed his mercy through her being merciful. God gives us peace, true peace the world can't give. And when we truly experience it, we give it to others because we love the peace God gives us, that we desire it for everyone. And love, it's unconditional. Next time you're thinking about somebody and you have anger in your heart, think about the love God had for you when he should have been angry. Listen to this. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about salvation, the salvation we share, I had to stop there and really, really, you know, what's the word in Selah? It means to stop and think. I stopped in the middle of that verse. I had to stop and think. This man wanted more than anything to share the love of Christ with everyone and the salvation they share. But he knew the enemy was knocking at the door. I know this morning the enemy's knocking at the door. You understand? And what does he say? I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. That's how, you know, when I was praying with my sister Ceci this morning, it's weird. I never ever experienced these things. You guys can think I'm crazy if you want. I have in the past off and on, but never like lately. I'm praying for my sister and I see these things rooting down off of her feet. And so I start praying, God cuts those roots. Cut those roots, Lord. Amen. Cut her free, Lord. And plant new roots. Plant new roots. Amen. And as I was praying for her, I was thinking about all of us. Lord, cut those roots. Christ severed those things on the cross. Somehow they came back. There isn't a person in this room, if they're truly saved, that Christ didn't sever those on the when you gave your life to him. Amen. Those roots were cut. We let the enemy back in and plant those things again. We did that. We chose that. You want to know why? Because we chose not to get up and walk with him every day. And if we're not spending time with Christ, who are we spending time with? That's why I've seen that movie over and over and over again. That's why I warned you about it. These young men here that we're working with are mad at me all the time if they admit it, because I'm constantly trying to kick that thing out from under them. I'm constantly trying to tell them, no, stop. Don't think that way. You're looking at that worldly. I'm trying everything in my power to share with them how the Spirit works in their life. Amen. Trust the Spirit. Don't trust those things. Stop trusting in those things. Amen. Watch. I felt I had to write and urge you to contend with the faith that was once, listen, are you ready for this? That was once for all entrusted in the saints. That makes you responsible, not just to Christ, but to everyone in your life. Next time you're struggling with somebody, remember that, because you're responsible for that person. Don't speak death to that person and everybody else around you. Speak life to that person and build that person up and everybody else around you. Every one of us struggle with that, don't we? We get caught up so quickly. You get caught up like that, pray that God severs those roots. God will never work in your life to take something away that he doesn't replace it with a piece of himself. He doesn't work that way. For certain men, are you ready for this? Listen, I believe every one of us are guilty of this. Watch. He's trying to point out certain people or whatever, because there's some that seem worse than others, okay? But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will touch each and every one of our hearts and make us what he created us to be if we let him see it. Are you ready? For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless. We have an appearance of Christ, but we have no power. We have no power. Seem like nothing around you ever changes? Things you pray for aren't being answered? You're still going through the motions? Going through the motions? Getting nowhere? Everything coming back in vain? You know what happens when we die in death without Christ? It's like it never happened. It is in vain. All our efforts are in vain. You get it? Because it's our efforts. Let him speak to your heart. Let him speak. I've been telling you for a year, we don't have to be who we used to be anymore. The world made us that. And we feel like we're subject to the world, like we have to answer to it. There's only one we answer to. You get it? He's the one that gives us life. I am not going to get through this message today. Oh, good. They didn't put a timer. I'm sorry. Here we go. I'm not supposed to lie in church. Sorry, you guys. Listen to this. Are you guys ready? They are godless men. That's just all that means is they act like they know somebody they don't know. You get it? Okay, watch. Who changed the grace. Remember we just talked about what grace was? Who changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and, listen, and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. I looked that word sovereign up. Have you ever looked that word up? I can't do it justice. I should have wrote it down. I just looked it up this morning. I wanted to look it up last week when I was reading this, and I kept, I don't know. You know, I have to do things that I don't want to do to look things up, like get on my little tablet or something and ask a question. I just don't want to do it. But I did it this morning. Amen. There's a lot of different meanings, but the one that was the most powerful to me is that he's the only one that holds power. He's unfailing. You can't undo him. He never changes. Amen? It just goes on. The list goes on and on and on of what he is and who he is. It's amazing. Okay? And they're trying to change who he is by being godless. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, Kathy? Look at, watch, Kathy. You ready for this? Okay? Okay. You and I know who we're supposed to be in Christ. But we, most of the time, live something else. Right? That life that we're living outside of Christ is the enemy coming into our life by any means he can, right? To take down what we know about Christ and the power of Christ and what he wants to do in our lives and the lives of everyone else. The enemy's doing everything he can to stop us. And most of us are living in that stoppage. God wants to do amazing, wonderful things. He even said he would do greater things if we let him. I talk like that because he gives us free will. We have the free will, Francis, to act any way we want to act. We know the truth, right? I used to act upon emotion. Can you imagine if I continue that? I want to tell you something I can't tell you. I wanted to do more harm than I ever thought of doing good. Because I acted upon something I felt like. And that's the godlessness. Amen? Though you already know all this, you already know all this, amen? I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Guys, catch that? We can live as actors, or we can live in Christ. But you know who you can never fool? Can't fool him. Can't do it. You can fool me. I can fool you. You can't fool him. He later destroyed those who did not believe, and the ancient and the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own home. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the day, on that great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah, he's using things as an example of how we're choosing to live outside of him. You get that? Angie, you want to know what's beautiful? Is what I tried to share with you earlier, okay? I'm trying to tell you something that's wrong, and God's showing me the wrong in me. You get the mirror image? You get it? That is a relationship that you're having with Jesus. That's somebody who believes because they're listening. Get it? And they're choosing the things of God when that happens. You know how many times I have to sit down and bite my tongue? Do you know how many times instantly God takes my anger from me and releases me from it because I don't have to have it anymore because I'm in him, I'm choosing him? You know how many times that takes place? Every day, all day. Right? The Bible says that we have to live in this world still, but we're no longer of this world. It happens to me every day, all day. Right? But my choice has to begin and end in him. Otherwise, I'm going to be just like everybody else. I see more harm in the church today than I do outside the church. I see the church pushing more people away because they're living like the world. They're bringing the world into the church, and the church is carnal. You think it started with us? It didn't. He took us all the way back to Egypt. Right? When those people were first delivered from Egypt, their hearts were right, like they're running through the Red Sea, like, man, bam, bam, right? They get on the other side, they're like, well, you know, we're sick of eating all this manna. Oh, you know, we threw this stuff in a fire and this calf popped out. So we all started worshiping it and doing the things of the world. We saw what these other people have and everything they did to get it, and we want to be like them. We need a king to take care of us. We want everything they have. We know who our king is. He's the King of Kings. Amen? You know what? I don't even want to go there. Let's just read some more. This is really the way I feel. I'm sorry. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up. They gave themselves up. We have free will. We make the choice to sexual immorality and perversion. Mike, what's the definition of perversion?
Improper use of
something. They gave them up to an improper use of something. How many of us are living improper usage of something? Thank you. You ready? Where am I? Sexual morality, perversion. Here we go. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal life. You guys, the one that we trust in, huh?
Eternal fire.
Oh, eternal fire, sorry. The one we trust in gives us eternal life, not eternal death. You get it? It's amazing to me that, really, Mary Jane, I'm not going to give away your age or anything, but you've been around for a while, right?
Yes.
And it's a short time.
Very short.
It's like, yeah, very short, Mary Jane. It's like, it's really like, I'm 57 years old now, and it feels like yesterday I was leaving home. You know what I mean? It's like so quick. There's going to come a time in your life when your son's your age having children, and you're going to be like, where's my little boy? It's that fast. Why would we give up life with Christ eternal for these few moments? They're just a few moments in time. You get it? Okay, here we go. Why? So we can have the eternal fire? Listen, in the very same way, those dreamers, listen, you got to hear this, okay? You got to hear this. What?
In their dreams.
Oh, mine says, in the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies by reject. Listen, are you ready? Their own bodies reject authority and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, here's what he's saying. I'm going to make it simple for you. You guys ready for this? This is so simple. He's saying because we don't trust and follow Christ, right? That we are thinking for ourselves, that what we think is right, even over anything else out there, that's just that you guys think that you guys have control over something. Okay, these things have control of you. They control your life. They control your actions. They control your thoughts. Do you understand? Me and Cody were talking about possession yesterday, and I said, you know what? A Christian, I don't believe, can be possessed. Only one master can live in that house. Amen? But they could be tormented. There's a battle taking place. You think you have control? You think you're so right that you'll just say and do whatever you want, not knowing anything. You know nothing. Are you ready? You know what? Okay, here's what I'm trying to get at. You ready, brother? Okay. Our knowing nothing keeps us from knowing Him who's everything. And yet we think we know something. And we think we know something so well that we could speak any way we want to speak about anything we want to speak about, because we know There's an enemy out there who has created all these things. And it is your in your mind and heart. And in your mind and heart, he delivers his truth. Okay.
Amen.
I don't get it. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, are you ready where you get your power from? Mm-hmm. Are you ready for who you trust in? Look what it says. I don't know where I am. Here we go. Oh, here it is. The Lord rebuke you. We have no power. Any power that's displayed in us is him. It's for him. It's by him. Next time we think we're something, let's seek the Lord. Amen? Let's see ourselves in what we think. I heard a pastor one time and it stuck with me. It's been in my heart ever since. It's been 20 years. I need to keep my eyes, my face. He said, face to face with Jesus. Amen? You know what it means to be face to face with Jesus? You can't be face to face with Jesus if you think you're something. You can only be face to face with Jesus if you're broken. And when you look into the eyes of Jesus, you see the truth in everything. You know the reason that you feel the way you feel and why you do the things you do. Doesn't make him right. He reveals him so you can allow him in to change it. Amen? I don't have to be that person anymore. I don't have to act that way anymore. And knowing that if I act that way and I am that person and I don't allow God to change my heart, am I a believer? Or am I just playing? Okay? Do I have eternal life in Jesus Christ? Or am I waiting for an eternal fire? And I can even mock that because I think I know. Because I know something. The writer of Proverbs says that a man thinks that he knows something and it leads to destruction. That's just the truth. When I first became the pastor of this church, I said, we need to forget everything we think we know and everything we've been taught. Let's just go to the Word. I still hold to that. Amen? Okay, I'm going to read fast. You guys know where I'm at now. I want to finish this. Oh my gosh, there's so much more. Okay, here we go. Where am I for reals? Oh, I'm over. Okay. All right, I'm going to go super. I'm just going to read the rest of it. You guys know what I'm talking about this morning, okay? Yet these men speak absolutely against whatever they do not understand and what they think they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. When we act like that, you guys, we're like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. They think they know something, amen, instead of knowing who they should know. That's what he told us when he took us back over here. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write to urge you to contend for your faith, amen. The enemy's trying to steal it, you guys. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit in Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Kira's rebellion. I think about Cain and Abel. They both talked to God because we read them talking to God. Right? But one was playing and thought he knew better and was going to do his own thing. You get it? And the other one was listening. Right? And humbling himself and surrendering himself to the Lord. You get it? These men are blemishes at your love feast. You know, I've been in ministry almost 30 years now. And I've had people with me in ministry, okay, that even put themselves above me and others like me. And now they're in the world, living in the world. And my heart cries for them. I pray for them all the time. Like, Lord, just show them the truth. Really bring them back. You know what that tells me? Is those people were playing in the church. They were playing church. Just playing church. That was the warning I gave you today. Amen. Don't be snatched away. Don't let it happen. Contend for your faith. Fight for it. It's not for you anymore if you're truly saved. It's for everyone around you. Okay, you guys, let's just read. Stop stopping me. Here we go. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, like that song, Wind Came. Okay, here we go. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted. Autumn trees, right? Twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved for. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly for all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Amen. Can I share this with you guys? He's talking about the church doing this. He's not talking about the world. He's talking to the church about the church. These men are grumblers. I hate this part. I see it in every one of us. I'm not saying we're not saved. I'm not saying that we're just not struggling with something. There's maybe something we haven't given the Lord yet, but I see this in every single one of us. We're grumblers. How many of us find fault in everything? Right? We're grumblers. We're fault finders. That's death. We need to speak life. We need to know Christ and build people up in him. Amen? We need to find the truth in the situation by letting God change our hearts first so we can share him righteously. When I'm speaking to somebody, I'm being hurt by the same thing I'm saying. Amen? Let's not only have that, let's have him to change that. I don't even know if you guys know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. At least you haven't fallen asleep today. The only one that fell asleep was Paul. Here we go. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. I've seen the movie over and over and over again. And it's hard to confront because then God confronts me. This is how deeply rooted this is. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, those are the times we're living in right now, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you. Did you catch that? Did you catch it? Are we called to divide? Think about that. Even if your brother or sister is wrong, you guys, don't divide them and don't divide others. Seek out a way to well, let's just read what he says. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts. Remember I told you about going off emotion? Don't go off emotion. Who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. We have an appearance of it, but there's no power in it because what we do brings destruction instead of life. Watch. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up. Build yourself. You know what he's saying? He's saying, let Christ work in your life to build you up, and then let him use your life to build up the body of Christ. Amen. Stop tearing it down. Stop speaking death. Let's speak some life. Amen? Okay, I lost you guys. Here we go. In your most holy faith, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. You guys, that one touched me. I'm sorry I'm gone over, Kathy. I just can't let this go till I'm done, okay? Is it okay? All right, listen, okay? Watch what it says right there. Build your in the most holy faith, listen, and pray in the Holy Spirit. You know what he's saying, you guys? If we're not broken, do you guys catch that? If we're not in life, if we're not givers of life because he that is life gave it to us, amen, then when we pray, we're not praying in the Spirit. We're praying in the world. We're praying in man. We're praying in our thoughts. We're praying in our unwholesome desires. We want to use it to get somewhere. To get over on somebody, to have something. We're the have-nots. That's who we are. You guys, honestly, forgive me this morning because I never speak like this. Never. You guys have known me for years. I just can't control myself. Can't control myself. And I'm up here saying these things and I'm seeing myself in all of it. So I'm not passing judgment. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm crying out like I have since we started Corinthians. God's only revealing these things so we can get right in him. Amen. And I didn't want to share the wrong in the book that I want to share with you until we see we need to be right. Because all those things are going to reveal things to us. Do you get it? All right. Are you ready? Keep yourselves in God's love. And that is praying in the Spirit. Amen? As you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful. Remember I told you won't know what mercy is until you can give mercy? And Kathy, that isn't in a given situation. That's in every situation. You need to have the heart of mercy. Watch. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire. Remember I told you, let's just read it? Amen? She's like, hurry up. Snatch others from the fire and save them. I guess this morning I'm snatching from the fire, I pray. You ready? Most of the time I'm just merciful. Because I experience God's mercy, amen? But sometimes we need to speak with fire. Watch. Be merciful to those who doubt. Remember I asked God to remove the doubt from this place this morning so we could hear him, remember? Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear. That's what I've been trying to tell you guys this whole time. I'm trying to say something, right? But God's revealing it to me. I can't share with you without being fearful of the one who's judging me. You get it? Tell me you get it. Somebody needs to wake Paul up.
Show mercy, Paul. Amen, brother.
Listen, hate even the clothes stained with their corrupt flesh. He's not telling us to hate the person. He's telling us to hate what's going on around us so we don't fall into it, so that the power of God can work in us to snatch them out. Amen? Now you want to hear the doxology? This is it. I should have just shared this and we could have went home. Listen, remember I told you that first part is a promise and we need to remember that? Okay, watch. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with a great joy. To the only God and Savior be glory, majesty, power, Listen, what are you giving these things to and not him? Because what he's trying to say here is that he has the power to do these things, but he gave us free will and we have to choose them. Did you guys hear that? Did you hear it? Watch. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with a great joy, to the only God and Savior be glory, majesty, power, authority. Go back to sovereign. These things are there. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Father, we just want to come to you today, Father. We want to stand before your throne. We want to bow before your throne. Lord, I would feel like I didn't do any justice with your word, Father, but I don't need to. I just need to read it, Lord. You touch the heart of man. So, Father, if there was a heart touched today, I pray for many. None of us need to know what it is you're doing in the other. All we need to know is you're doing. And if you're doing, all we need to be is willing to receive it. And so, Father, I ask this morning that if somebody here has been touched by you, Lord, that they just receive it. They can come forward for prayer. They can pray where they're at. They can come to your altar, Lord, whatever it is, Father, that's going to cause them to release it, Lord, and not continue in it, but to be free, to allow you to cut those roots, Lord. Cut those roots from us, Father. I was thinking of what Frances said today, praying over her daughter from the head, from the soles of her feet to the top of her head. And I was thinking, cut those roots, Lord. Cut those roots, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.